Welcome to the Jenny Chamberlain Real Estate Podcast, where this season we're focused on talking about attainable housing. Just as a side note, I'll be taking a few weeks break for the holidays after this episode, but in January I'll be back with more guests because I'm just not tired of talking about attainable housing yet. Today I'll be sharing an interview I had with local realtor Jake Peart of ERA Brokers in September of 2022. Peart has served in the past on the Planning Commission for the City of Tocqueville, and we'll be talking about attainable housing, vacation rentals, economic development, and his time serving on the Planning Commission. We will start out with him introducing himself and telling us a little bit about himself and his work.
You bet. So I'm Jake Peart. I'm a realtor, as Jenny's just said. I've been a realtor for since 2012. It's been a great opportunity for me. It's been neat to see all of the exciting things happening in the market. It's been an up market ever since I've been a realtor, and it's grown exponentially since really started going about 2010. Things started going back up, and it's grown significantly since then. And I have had a little bit of experience in the Planning and Zoning Committee and work with other cities trying to get things approved for development and growth and things like that a little bit.
So how did you get involved in planning and zoning in the first place?
I was appointed by Darren Lefebvre. He was the mayor of Tocqueville City at the time, so that's an appointed position. So he called and asked if I would serve, and I actually got to serve with your husband, Alex. It was a great experience. We had a lot of fun together.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's just something kind of at the discretion of, Darren Lefebvre was the mayor at the time, right?
Correct, yep.
Okay, and so he just kind of sees people that he thinks would be interested in serving the community and invites them. That's how that works.
So, yeah. He called me up and asked if I was interested in serving, and I do believe in giving back to the community, so I said yes. It was a frustrating experience, but I feel like it's very valuable to serve, so, we do it.
What was frustrating about it? Just the length of the meetings or the culture of...
I'm a big free market guy. I believe that market will govern itself, free enterprise, and it didn't seem like anybody else believed that, really. So mm-hmm. I felt like I was beating my head against the wall every time I went to a meeting. But
oh, okay.
It was a good learning experience.
Cool. Well, I'm glad it was a learning and growing experience. So the main focus of the podcast right now for this season is attainable housing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a huge issue in our county. We're seeing a huge mismatch between the median income versus what the median home price is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're thinking of the word attainable housing, what does that word mean to you? Like, what do you think of when you think of affordable or attainable housing?
You want me to be honest on this podcast?
Yes, 100%.
I don't think it's attainable. I think it's I don't think it's realistic. I think that it's something that we would like to have happen. I think that it's something that we would love to solve the problem to,
mm-hmm.
but I don't believe that there is there is a way, and it's through the basics of economics, and I don't think we want to attain it that way.
Mm-hmm.
At least the citizens in the communities and the people on the city councils, I don't think they want to see economics solve the problem. So they're hoping to try to solve the problem through some other way. But I was just meeting with a developer today, actually,
mm-hmm.
Talking to him. He just bought a piece of property in Cedar City, hoping to build fourplexes on that, which would help solve the problem because you're bringing in
more
supply, right?
Mm-hmm.
More product,
mm-hmm.
Helping with the demand. And Cedar City wants it to be attainable or affordable housing. So they said, well, in order to do this, you have to have a certain percentage of the units have to be this price point. And that made the deal not work for the developer because there's not enough money to build the homes and make it profitable for them. So it's kind of a tough situation.
Mm-hmm.
Is
the cost of building the fourplexes higher, even just the very cost of it, or it just didn't pencil out over?
If they could have done
it, the cost of it.
When they bought the property, it's actually under contract. They haven't purchased it yet,
mm-hmm.
but it penciled. They could have made it pencil if they could have sold it at market rates. But the government wanted them to sell a certain, or the city wanted them to sell a certain percentage of the units at a, an affordable rate, like $250,000, $300,000, and that wouldn't make it work.
Yeah, to meet the median income
mm-hmm. yeah.
requirements. Yeah. It's an interesting situation when the government tries to get involved, and I think they mean well because they're trying to serve the citizens, and it's just a challenge.
Right.
It's a real challenge. Mm-hmm. When you were on the planning committee or commission, mm-hmm. planning commission, what things did you see? Like, it sounds like you were really frustrated. Like, what would you have liked to see different from what you were seeing? Like, what did you see and what would you have liked to see?
So what I saw was people that wanted to do things with their property. We focused mostly, the biggest topic when I was on the planning commission was nightly rentals, trying to create a policy that would work well for the citizens in Tokerville, keep it. I feel like, so Tokerville, at the time, Tokerville did not have a ordinance for nightly rentals, and so people were just doing nightly rentals all over, and they wanted to have, the city wanted to have some control over that. I feel like the market will control all things. So I, you know, my belief at the time, and it still is at the time, it still is my belief that, you know, if there's too many nightly rentals, then the ones that are doing well and the people like will succeed, and the ones that aren't doing well will go away, and the market will control itself.
And it'll saturate eventually, that will cause the correction.
It will, correct, right? The good ones mm-hmm. will remain and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Survival of the fittest.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. But they didn't want that. They wanted an ordinance control. I think we did come up with a pretty good ordinance.
So the city, the other people on planning commission and city council did not want
just the
market.
Free reign, right?
Okay.
They wanted to have some boundaries on it.
Okay.
And I don't think it's fair, you know, so then how do you say, okay, well, you know, my neighbor actually had a nightly rental. So what makes it fair for my neighbor to have a nightly rental, which is a great opportunity for them. It brings in good income, mm-hmm. and it also significantly increases the value of their property when they go to sell, if they're able to keep that income, yeah. Correct. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then if I'm not able to have, which they were looking at an ordinance where if there was a nightly rental within 300 feet of one another, you couldn't have another one mm-hmm. close by.
And did that pass?
It did not, no.
Okay.
So we eventually came to a good conclusion. I actually like the result we came to. It took almost, I think, close to 2 years to uh-huh. come to the resolution. But we decided to make it so that anyone that lived in Tokerville could have up to 2 nightly rentals anywhere in Tokerville. Mm-hmm. I really like it. I think it's one of the best ordinances out there. I'm hearing that there might be some problems with it now, and they're re-looking at it again, but... It was interesting.
Yeah, I like what Tokerville's done too, because I think it really serves the people who actually live here. You know, it prevents it from having out of town businesses come in and buy all of them, and then
right.
not have a local person to take care of it, which right. I could see being a problem for the city if something's happening and they're mm-hmm. having to provide public resources when the private owner right. isn't there.
Correct.
And I've also had a client who was trying to sell a home that had one mm-hmm, and then it hurt the value because it couldn't be, the whole thing couldn't be one. She had to live on site. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
So there's like both sides of that one too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a really complicated issue. And I'm glad Tokerville kind of has things mostly tightened up, but it seems like not only Tokerville, but most of the cities in our area have really struggled to get everything tightened up nicely and cleanly for the vacation rentals yeah. as we've just had this phenomenal growth for the past, 5 to 10 years and
right.
a lot of out of town interest in them too.
And they had a great impact on mm-hmm. on the people being able to rent,
the affordability of housing.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yep.
For sure. And so sometimes I get caught up in an inner struggle because, of course, I want to see people succeeding and being able to have economic prosperity. But I also want people to have a place to live. And I hate to see those things go head to head. It's just hard.
It makes you wonder who to support. So the bigger problem that I see, it really comes mm-hmm. back to supply and demand, right? So
we
have an abundance of, we have a tremendous amount of high demand and, mm-hmm. and low supply.
Yeah.
And yet you go to... we'll just take Hurricane Valley, so Hurricane, Laverick, and Tokerville.
Mm-hmm.
You try to get any sort of even close to high density, and it's nearly impossible to accomplish. They just won't even consider it at all.
Like the city councils won't, and
right.
and even the general population, I feel like they're pretty against it.
They are,
because and we have a lot of agricultural heritage that they just want to preserve that. So
they want their grandkids to be able to afford to live here,
right?
But they don't want to see anything more than a, quarter acre, probably the smallest.
Single
right?
family residence.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is the most expensive type of housing.
Yes.
So it's Yeah, it's so hard. Mm-hmm. It's so hard.
And then the other thing is we hear a lot about water. So even if we were to, say we were open to high density and build as much as you want, do we have the water to sustain that? So I'm not sure that we ever get to a point where we actually have, at least from a market standpoint, unless you're subsidizing it or doing something, you know, where the government's getting involved, I'm not sure you're going to have affordable or attainable housing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've done quite a bit of research for my current project I'm working on about just affordable housing, attainable housing, how to do it in Washington County. And we're considered, they have this category, I think it's on the state level, that's like, it's called difficult to develop. And our county, it's because of the price of land here, because mm-hmm. everybody wants a piece of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't blame them. I love it. We're so close to the national park. We have easy access to so many things close by that, I mean, yeah. So
it's
the
like
demand
saying
is
that Manhattan
pretty high.
Or San Diego or places like that should have affordable or attainable housing.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. When the demand is super high.
Close to that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really challenging. So you've talked a little bit about things that you saw when you were on the Planning Commission mm-hmm. Influencing the housing stock. Do you have any other thoughts on those things that you saw while you were serving on the Planning Commission influencing the housing stock? I mean, Tocqueville's kind of a smaller town, right?
It is.
Mm-hmm. Any unique challenges that Tocqueville in particular faced as a smaller city?
You know, I think it's really a hard thing for, it really is that difficult decision to, as a community, do you want that? Because we do like our agricultural way of life. We like our space from our neighbors. We like the bigger mm-hmm. lots that we have. We like all of those things that we enjoy. And at the same time, we are frustrated that, you know, home prices are so high, and how do our kids and grandkids ever afford to buy a home here? So I really do think it comes down to making a decision of what you really want, and you really can't have them both. I don't see a way of having them both. So I think you have to make a decision what you really want. And maybe there's some options. You know, the other thing that we could look at in Tocqueville specifically is we could look at, instead of having just a single family home on a property, we could have an attached dwelling unit, you know, on the property or something like that. That would at least allow for, even if you said, you know, even if you limited it to family members had to reside there or something, mm-hmm. you know, that would at least mm-hmm. make it more affordable for your kids.
Yeah, and I've seen that in my research too, that accessory dwelling units like casitas, mm-hmm. Having a basement that has a kitchen in it,
yep.
that kind of thing is one of the best, like it's the most low impact as yep. far as like parking and streets and utilities.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a good way.
And I would say it needs to be have a detached option. So it's not attached to your home, a detached
yeah.
option.
And what is Tocqueville, when you were there serving, what was their current
No detached
position on it?
It had to be anything. You couldn't have anything detached from the home.
Like, did it have to have an interior hallway? Because I was curious. I thought I saw one time where they just had the roof like a little breezeway.
That's the way it was originally. And I think that.
But did they tighten that down?
They changed that, so now it has to be a shared wall or something. I don't know the exact ordinance mm-hmm. right now, but yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I should put a little caveat and say, any of the information that we say about what the city policy is, you should verify
it. Very true.
You should go and look. And that's a nice thing about city. A lot of times they'll have all their ordinances online, so you can go look it up and verify it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you see, it sounds like you think the market is the best way to solve the problem. Just let the market solve itself, which, I mean, it kind of has, but very dramatically when we had the last recession.
Right.
Do you think that's the primary way to solve the affordability crisis, or are there other things that you could see helping with the crunch in our county? What other things?
Well, I'm pretty opposed to government involvement in things. I think I don't like the government to get involved in paying for developers to develop cities. I think it's the developer's mm-hmm. responsibility to develop their land. I don't like it when, you know, I prefer that government stays out of things. I think things work better when the market just is able to mm-hmm. function freely.
But what if this, when you were talking about in Cedar, mm-hmm. and it, like, their request made it not pencil out.
Yeah.
But if they could they, like, look for federal funding or look for ways... Like, I heard somebody, this I thought was a great idea, suggest that they take the transient room tax
okay.
and give some of that money toward affordable housing.
Okay.
Like, what do you think about that idea? Like, if Cedar City had a ton of transient tax mm-hmm. income coming in, like, wouldn't it make sense for them that since that's impacting the affordable housing, for mm-hmm. them to take some of that money and, like, offset the developer's loss that it still pencils out?
Yeah.
Or do you oppose that? Like, are you still opposed to that just out of principle?
I'm probably a little too principled on keeping the government out, so I'm sure that someone with a more open
it's okay to stand by your principles, so that's good. But, yeah, I was just curious what you think.
I really think part of the reason it's not affordable is because the jobs then aren't here to support the income's not here. Right.
Right.
So I think we're better to work to increase, which you guys, you know, the university's obviously doing a great job of bringing in higher income and raising that. And I think that actually becomes something that, we're even seeing it at fast food restaurants, you know, and they're mm-hmm. paying, I mean, their wages are rising. $14 to $17 an hour, obviously.
Yeah.
You're starting to see that. And that obviously still doesn't come close to affording a home here.
But the median income with inflation happening, it has been rising because in our county, it's over $80,000, which surprised me because mm-hmm. I don't see those type of wages advertised a lot, but apparently there are jobs like that here.
Mm-hmm.
And I know St. George City and other groups in the county have really worked on economic development. So mm-hmm. I feel like that's one important piece that maybe we overlook a lot
mm-hmm.
is raising the wages.
Yeah. And I don't think that should be a mandated thing. But yeah. I think it naturally happens, you know, as, mm-hmm. I mean, as employers, as they go to hire people and they say, well, I can't afford it. You know, and we're seeing it with our sheriff's department, our school teachers are way underpaid. So as they start to say, hey, I can't afford to live here anymore, then eventually the citizens are going to say, well, we want to pay you more. You know, I think it naturally happens.
Yeah.
It does take a long time, probably longer than anybody wants it to, but I think it will happen.
Yeah. Good. Well,
how do you see it happening?
How do I see it? What happening? The affordable housing?
Yes.
Oh. That's why I'm doing this podcast, so I can interview all the experts I know and figure it out.
Well, you're a very good expert.
But
yourself.
I'm still figuring it out. But I think it's a lot of the things that we've talked about. I think the public has to be involved, sometimes the zoning.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to combat the not in my backyard attitude.
Yeah.
Some of the research that I've read has said, you know, a lot of people have this impression that if an apartment building comes in, it's going to hurt their property values.
Yeah.
And somebody in Salt Lake did some research. They did, like, they crunched the numbers, and it actually did not hurt and slightly helped people's property values. Like, the single-family house mm-hmm. residences around an apartment building that came in were helped.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about, well, why is this? And they were speculating in the article that it's probably because people like to live near their loved ones.
Yeah.
And people who can afford a single family residence are often in a certain time of their life, and people who can't are in a different time of their life.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like the parents or the grandparents. Like, it's intergenerational things. And so if you have all these people living in an apartment, then there are people that they're related to or love, you know, people in their social circles that mm-hmm. want to be by them.
Right.
And that increases the demand on that particular neighborhood.
I like it.
And so to me, that's a situation where the market really is, like you were saying, it's kind of helping. So I think the market is one of the things. Zoning is an important thing. But the zoning is really hard because you get a lot of public outcry against some of the things that are the friendliest toward affordable housing, accessory dwelling units. I know it comes up over and over again, getting creative about it.
Mm-hmm.
There are some cities in other states that have been working on this problem for a long time, and they'll have things like, building plans that are easy to add on to any plan, and mm-hmm. that you get fast pass through as far as, speeding up the bureaucracy at mm-hmm. the city. If they're like, oh, this is an approved plan, so you can easily do this in your, you know, above your garage, or you can do this to your basement, and sometimes they can do a lower price in their impact fees. There's lots of different things you can do, but I don't know what all the things are that are best. And
getting the community to agree to that
secret sauce on that? I really don't know. I'm studying rhetoric.
How did those cities get that effect? So they're not, so instead
I think
of resisting
they're,
it, they're
it's
actually
not
facilitating
Utah.
It.
Utah is so conservative that mm-hmm. it's hard because we have many people like you who just don't, like, we don't want the government to do anything.
Yeah.
And I think.
But that includes staying out of our personal property rights.
Right, that's true. So maybe that's where we need to appeal to self-interest and say, look, hey, this could be your property that we're talking about.
Right.
But I think it really goes above and beyond what we expect of our city officials for them to say, oh, well, we have all these plans for you.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the kind of thing where you'd need to have like a builder who's interested in doing that work in conjunction with the city. Like the way in Utah, we would probably like to see it since we love to have it be like the private sector do as much as they possibly can, like the developers take responsibility. You'd have to get the right builder. And right now, builders are so busy.
I would do it in, I have a property right now that I would do an accessory dwelling, you know, I have a property in LaVerne that I built. I'm not doing anything with it because I'm hoping that they will spot zone. So here's the thing, I think this is a bad plan to have a zone where you have to have all the multifamily in one section. I think that's terrible for the people that live there. I think it's a really bad plan.
I agree.
So I think to have spot zoning where you can have, you know, mixed. Las Vegas has some great communities with everything built out where they have a blend of all sorts of houses, homes.
Yeah.
In a community.
And I've heard St. George is starting to get a little bit of that, but we're not seeing it on our side of the county yet. No, but and I hear Shirlane Quayle, she's one of the people in the Economic Development Office in St. George City. She frequently will mention what's called missing middle. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what it is, where you'll have a big, mostly single family residence neighborhood, but you need to have things like duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes mixed in.
Yeah.
Because then you get a variety of ages and resources, and you don't have that huge densely, you avoid some of the problems that come with overly dense population.
All in one section.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I see, I'm worried about hurricane right now because I'm seeing a lot of it all in the same spots, you know, lots and lots of apartments, lots of the dense housing.
Yeah.
And I would love to see more creativity as far as like new subdivisions having a few of the more smaller units mixed in with
I get really sad stuff. When I see all of our high density next to the freeway or like in Hurricane, they've got all those new apartments that they put up and then they're putting up an industrial building right next to it. It's like, you know, like these people, you know, make it nice.
It's because the industrial people don't come and complain like the neighborhoods do. And it's additionally, this is another thing I read in a Kem C. Gardner report. Part of the reason that you see that so much is that a lot of the state money that comes from, I think it's from the federal government and from state allocations for attainable housing building and development is tied to traffic money. Like, because it has to be, they can walk and get to public transportation.
Gotcha.
And so they'll marry those two together because if you're able to use public transportation and not have to have a car, it lowers your impact. Your environmental impact, and it also increases the affordability because you could hop out, hop on the bus, go to work, and go home without having to own a car. So that enhances the affordability of the house and the entire lifestyle.
Gotcha. So. Okay.
And I was talking to some of my mom friends recently, and they were talking about how a lot of the kids these days have this dream where I feel bad that I'm laughing at it because I think it's a great dream. But their dream is to be able to live in their apartment and then just go buy food, like walk down the street and buy food and then and walk to work within walking. Like, who wouldn't want to do that? Yeah. Who wouldn't want to have to not get in their car, not have a commute?
Yeah.
But I'm like, I think this is, like, part of this is a video game generation. Like, I want to be able to come home, play my games, work on my computer.
As a community, we probably should start to think about how they want things to look in 30 years.
Yeah,
right?
It's true. Yeah. And maybe they won't want to have a big lawn that they have to mow every week.
I don't want one.
Yeah. We have a good-sized lawn right now, and I question it frequently. Like, why do we do this?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, do you have any other thoughts on affordable housing or housing density or city planning that you want to share with our listeners?
So if anybody from Washington County is listening, specifically Hurricane Valley and Tocqueville and LaVerican, I really think we should start looking at spot zoning. I was starting to think the other day, you know, we're all about this equality thing right now in our world, and we're really kind of discriminating against, you know, apartments.
People who need
having more equal opportunity that way.
Yeah,
spot
zoning
would be great.
Cool. And I feel like you should... What is it when you say you have a conflict of interest? Because you're trying to put one through right now, right?
I am, yes.
Full disclosure.
I do have a conflict of interest.
But I think you're right. I think it would be nice for us to see more of a variety of housing. So, cool. Well, thank you so much, Jake.
You
really appreciate you taking time. I know you're super busy, so I'm glad you were able to
My pleasure. Thanks for all you do. You're amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, no problem. Okay. Thank you for listening to the Southern Utah Real Estate Podcast with Jenny Chamberlain. I hope you'll think about subscribing and give the podcast a review if you found it valuable. If you have feedback or ideas to make this podcast better, check out my website, jennychamberlain.com, and leave me a message there.